feel from the Lord to speak to us about the cross and sanctification. Cross and sanctification. I want you to go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Verse 19 says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Let's pray. Lord, I'm looking to you, Father. Lord, these are truths that you've put before my own heart. And God, you've been revealing in my heart. And Father, I can say in all honesty and sincerity, Lord, the more I understand how the cross plays a role in my daily life, God, there's been a liberty and a freedom and a rest in my heart, just ever increasing in my life. And Father, that is the testimony that I've heard from many people, Lord, as we've been obeying you and preaching the cross and teaching the cross, not just the salvation side, but how it works daily in our life. So Father, I'm coming to you again, Lord, these truths that are so real within my heart, preparing this message. God, I'm asking you to anoint them. God, anoint me this morning. Father, it's not by might nor by power that anything that's going to have eternal value can be deposited into our life. It has to be done by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we're leaning upon you. We're looking upon you. And Lord, there's a confidence in our heart, God, that you are here and you're going to open up this word and these truths to our life. And Father, everything that you're doing in our heart and through our life, Lord, we give you all the glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The question has been asked to me by different people. "Pastor Tim, I've heard you say that the cross works every day in our life, every day in our heart, to sanctify us. And I really don't understand that. I don't understand what part the cross plays every day in my life in sanctifying me, in the sanctification process. And Pastor Tim, can you please explain that to me, how it works?" So, brothers and sisters, let me just begin by saying that the cross plays such a very vital part in our daily sanctification. It plays such a very vital part in our daily being transformed from glory to glory, image to image, even by the Spirit of God. I truly believe with all my heart that 90% or more of the people in the church, when it comes to understanding the cross, we only understand the salvation side of the cross. We only understand, yes, when I come to Jesus and I bow at the cross, the blood of Jesus cleanses me and I'm made righteous and it breaks the dominion of sin in my life. That's about as much as most people in the body of Christ understand. And beloved, as powerful and as wonderful as those truths are, and they're very wonderful and powerful, but what we need to understand, the cross does so much more than that. It does so much more than just cleanse us and breaks the dominion of sin in our life. There are so many powerful things that it does within our life. And one of those things that it does that is so powerful is it sanctifies us. It works in our daily life of sanctification. Now, I want you to read with me Galatians 4, verse 19 again. And we're going to get into the heart of this letter, really what Paul is talking about in this letter. Verse 19, Paul writing to the Galatians says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." This was Paul's passion for the Galatian church. The passion of Paul's heart for the Galatian church would be that daily they would be conformed into the image of Christ. That daily they would be sanctified. That daily they would be changing from glory to glory, image to image, even by the Spirit of God. That was Paul's passion for these Galatian people. But brothers and sisters, something had come into this church that was horribly hindering the sanctifying process in their life. The sanctification process in their life. And when you look at it, you look at this letter, it has everything to do with the cross. Everything. So then we have to ask the question, well, what was it that was frustrating the sanctifying process in the life of these Galatians? What was it that had come in and literally tied the hands of the Holy Spirit in their lives where He could not do the work that He wanted to do in their life? What was it? Well, brothers and sisters, when you look at this letter, it shows us that Judean Jews had come into this church and they were preaching and teaching to the people that in order to be saved, you had to put your faith in Jesus, but you also had to be circumcised. Circumcision. That salvation was by faith in Christ and circumcision. So Paul's overall purpose in this letter is to come and refute that heresy. His overall purpose, listen, when you get into this letter and you really dig into the meat of this letter, his overall purpose for this letter was to defend Christ and the work He finished on the cross. That's his overall purpose. See, Paul plainly tells them, because you put your trust in circumcision, you're going to go right back into the bondage of your sin nature. Because you put your trust back in circumcision, you're going to go right back into bondage of the flesh. You're going to find your sin nature one more time dominating you and taking dominion over your life, because you switched your faith from simply trusting in Christ and the work He finished on the cross to circumcision. And because you have done that, you're going to go right back into bondage of the flesh. In other words, brothers and sisters, Paul knew that sanctification, Paul knew that Christ being formed in the Galatian people had everything to do with the cross. Had everything to do with the cross. Now, Paul understood. Now really hear me now, because this is really getting into how the cross works in our life. Paul understood how the Holy Spirit works in the life of a believer. He clearly understood that. And that is through simple faith in Christ and the work He finished on the cross. That, brothers and sisters, when there's a faith in our heart, there's a trust in our heart, there's a rest in our heart, and the work Jesus finished on the cross, that is the channel that the Holy Spirit works in through our life to change us from glory to glory. It has everything to do with where we have placed our faith. When we are trusting in and resting in the finished work of Christ on the cross, that's the channel. See, brothers and sisters, hear me. The Holy Spirit is the power in our life that changes us. He is the power in our life that conforms us to the image of Christ, that causes us to go from glory to glory. He's the power. But this is what we have to understand. He's looking for something in the heart first. There's something He has to see in the heart. And what is that? Again, it's where we have placed our faith. That my faith is not in what I do. It's not what I have done. I'm simply resting and trusting in the work Jesus finished on the cross. When He sees that faith, that is the faith that He works in to miraculously transform us. And if our faith is in anything else, it ties His hands, because the Holy Spirit only recognizes the cross. He only works within the confines of the cross. The faith that's in our heart. When Jesus said, "It is finished," Jesus, that is where my faith is at, in the work You completed on the cross. Beloved, this is how the cross works every day in our life to sanctify us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us, but He works in that faith in our heart that's trusting and resting in the work Christ finished on the cross. Beloved, listen to me. If someone was to come to you and to me and ask us, how does the Holy Spirit work in our life? How does He sanctify us? That has to be your very first answer. That has to be the foundational answer. The Holy Spirit works through many things to sanctify us, but all these other things rest upon this foundation. There is no other foundation. How does the Holy Spirit sanctify me? How does He work in my life? It's when I'm simply trusting in Christ, simply resting in the work He finished on the cross. That's what He works in to sanctify me. It's that faith. That's the foundation. Yes, He uses the Word. Yes, He uses trials. Yes, He uses circumstances of our lives to work in us. But what releases His power in our lives is where our faith is placed. when I am trusting and resting in Christ's finished work on the cross, He can use many, many things to change me. Many things. Now, let me give you an example. Let me give you a clear example of what I'm talking about. Let's look at a car, an automobile, okay? Listen, an automobile, a car, has many parts that get that automobile moving, gets that automobile going. It has a battery. It has an alternator. It has spark plugs. It has a transmission. It has many things that cause that car to go. But listen, there is only one thing that will start that car. There's only one thing that will cause all these other things to come in motion, to begin to go in motion. Only one thing. What is that one thing? It's the key. It's the key. You have to put the key in the ignition, and when you turn the key, it puts all these things in motion. Listen, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit uses so many things to sanctify us. He uses the Word. He uses prayer. He uses the trials of life. He uses circumstances. But listen, there's only one thing that will put all these things in motion. Only one. And that is where our faith is placed. Do you get it now? Do you understand that? Again, when I'm simply resting and trusting in Christ and the work He finished on the cross, that puts the sanctification process to work in our life. The Holy Spirit can use many things, but that is the key that puts everything in motion in our life, where we have placed our faith. Now, understand, when we put our faith in or shift our faith in anything else other than Christ and His finished work on the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit is cut off in our lives. That's pretty strong, right? Isn't it? Are you with me this morning? Amen. Listen, when you put your faith or switch your faith to any other thing than Christ and the work He finished on the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit is cut off in our lives. I want to show you this. Look with me at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 4. Paul writes, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So Paul says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. And beloved, that word effect in the Hebrew language, that word effect in the Hebrew means to work powerfully in. To work powerfully in. So we're talking about power here. So in other words, what Paul is saying is simply this. He's saying, when you place your faith in any other thing than the work Jesus finished on the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit is cut off in your life. Why? Because that is the channel in our life. That's what He looks for in the heart. And again, that's the channel in our life where His power flows through. It's that faith in the heart resting here. It's that faith in the heart. It's cut off in the life. The power of the Holy Spirit is cut off in the life because He only recognizes the cross. Now let's go back to our car and key example. Let's say you have a car and a ring full of keys. No matter how many keys you put into the ignition, only one key is going to start that car. If you try to use any other key besides the right key, there will be no power and the car is not going to run. And when we start placing our faith in something else, we are trying to use other keys to engage the sanctification process in our life. The sanctification process, the power of the Holy Ghost to sanctify us, is cut off in our life when the key of faith in Christ and His finished work is replaced by another trust. It's cut off. Look with me again at verse 5. Verse 4. Chapter 5, verse 4. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Paul tells the Galatian people, he says, you are fallen from grace. Now, I've heard a lot of people use those words in context to people they thought had lost their salvation. That's the way a lot of people use it. You've fallen from grace. You lost your salvation. But when you look at this letter and in the context, Paul isn't telling them they lost their salvation. They did not lose their salvation. When Paul says you've fallen from grace, what he's saying is this. When you went back to trusting in circumcision, you removed yourself from the only source that has the power to liberate you from the sin nature. When you put your trust right back in circumcision, you removed yourself from the only source that has the power to give you victory in your life over your flesh. And because you have done that, you're going to go right back into the bondage of the sin nature. Doesn't matter how much you love Jesus. It doesn't even matter if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. If your faith is not exclusively in Christ and trusting in His finished work of the cross, you are going to find the flesh having dominion over your life again. That's what he's saying. That's why Paul said in Galatians 6 verse 14. Look with me. Let's just read it. Look at Galatians 6 verse 14. Paul writes, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just stop there. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole letter is about the cross and where our faith is. And when he uses the word glory here, when he says, God forbid that I should glory, he's talking about the object of his faith. He's saying, God forbid that I should put my faith in anything else except Christ and the work he finished on the cross, because Paul knew that is where the transforming power was. He knows that is where the liberating power is. He knows that is where the sanctifying power is. And he says, God forbid that I should be moved from the simplicity of faith. Amen. So then the question arises, all right, Pastor Tim, I understand what you're saying. Pastor Tim, is the church doing this today? Are many, many people in the body of Christ doing this today, switching their faith from simply trusting in Christ and the work he finished on the cross to something else? Sadly, it is. Sadly. We do this, listen, we do this when the cross and the power of the cross is not our central message when it comes to dealing with man's sin and man's bondage. We do this by so de-emphasizing the cross. We do this. And beloved, the tragedy is, we really don't recognize it happening because we make it look so spiritual. Works of the flesh and programs and ministries and teachings that's really centered around the works of the flesh. The Eliab ministry, what we call it. Samuel was so impressed with this man's strength of the flesh, he wanted to anoint him. Surely this is what God anoints. But God says, that is not what I anoint. I don't anoint the strength of the flesh. And there are many, many Eliab ministries out there that's really based upon the strength of the flesh, but it looks so deceitful because we surround it with scripture and we surround it with prayer. But when you strip it all away, it's still the strength of the flesh. And let me just give you, there's just four examples on my heart of how we do this. Number one, beloved, I do believe in the church. There is a place for Christian counseling. And with all my heart, I do believe within the church there is a place for Christian rehabilitation programs. But if in our counseling and in our Christian programs, if we are not pointing people back to the cross, if we are not truly causing people's faith to focus on the triumph of the cross, if the cross and the power of the cross, if that is not at the very core and center of it all, then we have removed God's miraculous power from our counseling. We have removed God's miraculous power from our programs because the power is in the cross. And that has to be the center of it all. You know, I'm guilty of this mistake myself until the Lord really began to deal with this in my heart. So many times when people come in for counseling, as pastors, we want to tell them everything you should be doing. You should be doing. You should be reading more. You should be praying more. You should be fasting more. There's more you need to do. And there is a place for that. You can't live a carnal life and overcome strongholds. There's a place for that. There is a place for that. But brothers and sisters, I found out a lot of people are doing everything they know to do. They are praying. They are fasting. They are in the Word. But they still have a bondage, a besetting sin they can't break. And I come to find out it's not because of what you're doing or not doing. You need to put your focus back on the cross. You need to simply come back to trusting and resting in the finished work Jesus did on the cross, because that's the power God gave to deal with every stronghold in man's life. God doesn't have another way. He deals with sin and strongholds by the cross. That's how He does it. Number two, another reason I know people's faith is in something else other than Christ and His finished work on the cross. And that's simply this. So many of the ministries in the church today are centered around the strength of the flesh. Centered around the strength of the flesh. When I was first saved, there was a movement that was sweeping through the church. Very big movement. And it was simply called the deliverance movement. The deliverance movement. And so many books and so many teachings were given to the church about being delivered and being set free from strongholds in your life and all these things. And it was surrounded by scripture and surrounded by prayer, but something just wasn't set right in my heart. And it basically went like this. If you're dealing with this kind of stronghold in your life, well, here's three or four things you need to do. And then at the end of the chapter, there was a prayer at the end of the chapter to pray, a formulated prayer. Now let's pray this prayer together. Sounds good. And if you're dealing with this stronghold in your life, then here's three or four things that you need to do. And then here's a prayer that you need to pray and scriptures that you need to confess and all these kind of things. But brothers and sisters, now looking back on it, I understand why it didn't sit right in my heart. It's because the cross was so de-emphasized. It really had nothing to do with looking to Christ's finished work on the cross for our victory. It really had nothing to do with focusing our faith on Christ's victory on the cross. And beloved, if our faith isn't focused on Christ and what He did on the cross, then you're just sentenced to a spiritually defeated life. Defeated life. And here's one of the biggest ones that tells us that so much of the church is not walking and resting in the power of the cross, but trying to be victorious or changed by self-strength. Walk into any Christian bookstore and look at their teachings. There are so many books on victory and deliverance and being set free from strongholds in your life. And yet they tell you to do so many other things, but simply look to Jesus' victory on the cross. Self-strength. Self-strength. And number four. Something that shows people's faith is in something else other than what Christ finished on the cross. If you were to ask most believers today, where does your strength come from? Where is your strength found? You're going to get so many different answers. And one of the biggest answers is going to be, it's in my obedience. When I'm walking in obedience to the Lord, His strength fills my life. Others will be, it's in my surrenderedness to the Lord. It's in my yielding to the Lord. When I surrender and fully yield my life to the Lord, His strength fills my life. Beloved, I want to tell you something. There is an element of truth in that. But that's not the foundation. That is not the foundation. Listen, my strength is not found in what I do. My strength is found in where I have placed my faith. In Christ and the finished work of the cross. That is where my strength is found. So, Pastor Tim, are you saying it's wrong to pray for strength? Is it wrong to read the Word to draw strength? No. These will provide a great and wonderful source of strength. But what I'm saying is this. It's our faith, simply trusting and resting in Christ's finished work on the cross, that allows life to come to us when we pray and read. In other words, this faith is the channel that all the resources of Christ flows through in our lives. You got to understand it. It's this faith in the heart that all the resources of Christ flows through in our life. Where our faith is placed has to be the foundation of it all, because all of God's resources flow through this faith. Now here's the bottom line. Let's just sum it up. When it comes to sanctification, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to miraculously change us. And it is through the faith in our hearts in Christ and His finished work on the cross that the Holy Spirit works in. And when we place or shift our faith to anything else, it ties His hands. And He cannot work in our heart like He desires to. Okay. Well, let's end it with this. Well, Pastor Tim, I understand what you're saying. There is an agreement in my heart. I understand. Holy Spirit can use so many things to work in my life. But there's only one key that causes all these things to go in motion. That's where my faith is placed. Simply trusting and resting in Christ and the cross. But Pastor Tim, can you simplify that for me? Can you simplify it for me? When you say, my faith needs to be exclusively in Christ and the work He finished on the cross, that's where I need to be fully resting in and walking in and trusting in. What does that mean? And can you make it simple? I can make it simple. I want to show you what it means. Go with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Look with me at verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." Stop there. It is finished. When Jesus was about to take that last breath and submit to death, He said these words, "It is finished." And in that, this is what Jesus was saying. Hear me. This is what Jesus was saying. Everything the Father desires to give lost, sinful humanity is now available to them through the finished work of the cross. Everything God desires to give lost, sinful humanity is now available to them because of the work of the cross, the finished work of the cross, everything. Beloved, let me ask you a question. Before He died on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." The question I want to ask you is, what is it? If someone was to come to you from off the street and say, "I read in the Bible, Jesus said, it is finished. Can you please tell me what it is?" I'm asking us, what is it? What would we tell them? Some of us would say, "It is the blood of Jesus has cleansed me and my sins are washed away and I'm forgiven." Well, that might be 1% of it. I say that in love. Well, it is when I asked Jesus into my heart, the power of the sin nature was broken in my life. That might be 1% of it. It is, I'm robed in His righteousness and I am a new creation in Christ. That might be 1% of it. Beloved, what is it? It is everything. Everything. It is my justification. It is my liberation from the power of sin. It is my sanctification. It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is all the spiritual blessings that Paul listed in Ephesians chapter 1. It is all the blessings that God has for my life. Everything we receive from the Father is through the means of the cross. It is everything. Sanctification, resurrection life, baptism of the Holy Spirit, spiritual blessings in Christ, everything, and it comes through the means of the cross. So here's the answer in simplicity. Pastor Tim, when you say my faith needs to be exclusively in Christ and the work He finished on the cross. Can you tell me what that simply means? Here's what it means in simplicity. In my heart, I truly believe that everything I received from my Father is because of the cross. It's been bought and purchased by the cross. It's because of the cross. The cross is the means that I receive everything and anything from God. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit sees that faith in the heart, then He can work miraculously in our life to change us and transform us. So then, Pastor Tim, what's the bottom line? Well, what was the bottom line for Paul to the Galatians? One more time, go with me back to Galatians. Galatians. Chapter 5. Verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Beloved, when you read this letter as a whole, you know exactly what Paul is saying. When he says, "Stand fast," what he's saying is, don't let anything move you from the simplicity of just trusting in Christ and the work He finished on the cross. Don't let anything move your faith, switch your faith to anything else. No, the power is in Christ and Him crucified. That's where the power is at. That's where the power is to liberate you from the bondage of sin and the flesh. That is where the power is to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and sanctify you. That is where the power is. Don't let anything move you from the simplicity of that. Amen. Stand with me this morning.